You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Swimmer Melanie Barrett won gold medals at the Atlanta and Sydney Paralympics, but has swapped competitions in the pool for taking on the open water. This year, she's planning to swim at the English Channel and is here today to talk about her preparation for the big swim and her love of the sport. Hi, Melanie. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi.
So before we talk about swimming, can you tell us about your sight?
So I was born with the sight that I have. My mum had toxoplasmosis when she was pregnant with me. So I was born with some damage to my eyes. I'm blind in my left eye. I have a false eye in my left eye. On my right eye, I've got about 2/60 vision, which means I can see kind of colours and shapes. And I feel very privileged that I can actually read if I look very closely at things. But my focal distance is very, very small. So it's basically the end of my nose. And my sight's been the same pretty much all my life, which I actually feel quite fortunate about, because I don't feel like I was ever been aware of something that I've lost. It's just what I've always been.
When did you first start swimming? Was it something you took up in childhood or more when you were a bit older?
I can remember my mum trying to teach me to swim when I was quite small. While I enjoyed being in the water and being kind of, I really like being in that environment, I couldn't really swim very well until I went to Exel Grange School. It was a very sporty school and they tried to teach me to swim, but it was British Blind Sports that actually really helped me develop my swimming technique and took me to competitions. And I was then able to start competing and training at a higher level and then eventually getting on to international competitions, then obviously the Paralympics. So yes, quite a long time ago now, but it's something that stayed with me all my life. I just love being in the water and I find it more than anything else. It's just a really good stress relief and something that I know that I can do and I can do well. And I just feel like it's my place to be in the water and it just makes me feel so much better afterwards.
Did you ever imagine when you first started swimming that you would compete internationally, or was it more kind of people around you that encouraged you to do it?
Looking back, I never really saw myself as being a competitive person from a sports point of view. I used to really enjoy eating chocolate and reading books and stuff like that, and I never really felt very sporty. But once I got into swimming, and I think what really started me off was I had a friend who was selected by British Blind Sports to go to an international competition when I was about 14. And I thought, oh, that's great to have something in your life like that that's really kind of motivates you to go swimming, and it's something to work towards. And I really, really wanted to do it as well. So that's when I started kind of taking myself to the pool and trying to teach myself. And eventually I got picked up by British Blind Sports to go to their development weekends and then their national team weekends, where they started coaching me more intensively. And that's when I joined a club. But I was quite old for a swimmer at that point of time. I think I was about 15. In a way, it's better because I decided that I really wanted to do that rather than my parents trying to encourage me into it. It was my decision that I wanted to have that kind of direction in my life and something to achieve. And ever since then, I've always had to have something, a challenge to work towards. Kind of feel like my life is fuller for that.
And was it intimidating to go from the very controlled environment of indoor swimming pools to kind of battling the elements in wild swimming?
Oh, it's huge. Yeah. So it's a little bit embarrassing to admit, because everybody did it during lockdown. My channel swimming friend, she took me to the local river, and I can remember my first swim in the river very clearly. It's like getting into the cold water is just such an all-encompassing experience and sort of like a grounding experience in a way. You know, you're just submerged in nature, literally. Being visually impaired, it's something that's really, really difficult to do. It's impossible to do on your own, really. You need to have somebody there to help you. So those first steps were quite scary. Being in the water is also quite scary because there's just no way of knowing where you are in the water. There's no lane ropes or walls or stroke counting or anything that I would normally do in a pool. So I was completely reliant on the person that I was with. We developed a really nice friendship through that, because I was reliant on her and she was helping me. But we were at that time just doing like heads up breaststroke, where you can actually talk to each other, so you can talk to me and guide me, which you obviously can't do if you're going to do any long distance swimming. And then it turned out that she actually was quite a lot slower than me. She could just keep going forever, whereas I've obviously, coming from a competitive background, was quicker. So we just couldn't swim together. Some people managed to swim with somebody next to them on a tether, but I haven't actually been able to find anybody that's the same pace as me. Not necessarily because I'm particularly fast, but in swimming, if one person is slower than the other, then it's the slower person's going to get cold. So you have to be exactly the same pace. And I just haven't found somebody who wants to do the same things as me and swims at my pace. So I was kind of a bit of a loss of what to do because I really wanted to swim distance events, not to win them, but to challenge myself. And my husband has got this really bright green kayak. So we tried it with me swimming next to him. I could kind of see this green blob on the surface of the water when I turned to breathe. And that worked reasonably well. But there was just no, he couldn't communicate to me at all. He couldn't say, you know, we've got to go this way, we've got to go that way, look out for this. Or I had no idea where I was in the race or where I was in the lake or, you know, anything that was coming up that I had to avoid. It was see this green blob from time to time and I had to try and just follow it. So I couldn't swim to my full potential, basically. And then eventually we managed to get, I have a radio headset that's bone conducting that I wear, so I can hear other things as well. But I can hear him or the person who's guiding me all the time and tell me where anything, any information that I need. So it could be what direction I need to go in, what I need to avoid, if there's anybody swimmers coming up or any swimmers I need to swim around. All these things, that information that other people would have and not even really realise it, that I was missing out on. It's meant that I'm able to swim to my full potential and swim as fast as I want. And people have just been amazing at guiding me. There have been people that have guided me from the bank and from kayaks and paddleboards and just made it so much better for all of us. It's been brilliant. And it's meant that I've been able to swim Lake Windermere twice. And I was part of a relay last year that swam Lake Geneva, which is 71 kilometres. And that was the most amazing experience. There were six of us that did it. And we took it in turns to swim for 1 hour at a time. It took us about 26 hours. But because they had to guide me, it kind of brought us all together as a team like we wouldn't normally be, because we were supporting each other so much. And we had to swim through the night. And although it was a lake, it still got really wavy. So I experienced what it's like to swim next to a big boat in waves and in the dark and with the sun rising. It was an amazing experience. And all this was possible because of the radio headset and because of the trust that I've got with other people.
You've been working towards doing the Channel Swim for a few years. Why did now feel like the right time to do it?
I retired from swimming competitively quite a long time ago now, but I've always kind of just kept my hand in and just swam for my enjoyment and relaxation. And I've seen open water swimming and thought that must be amazing. And I've read books about people who've swam the Channel and thought it's just that'd be an incredible thing to do. But I always thought it was something that I just would not be able to do, not just from the distance and the physical point of view, but from the fact that to swim in open water, you have to be able to sight on distant objects and to see the boat that you're swimming next to and to swim towards something and to see the waves coming at you so you can time your swimming and your breathing. And it's all things that I thought I just wouldn't be able to do. But then gradually I was introduced into open water swimming and I tried small events and small steps at a time and worked my way around what I could do and how I could do it. And eventually, well, I've got a friend who's done several channel attempts and she's a very keen channel swimmer. And I've got friends who swam channel relays and it's made me think, like, you know, it would be just the most amazing thing to swim to France and swim from one country to the other. And it's such an iconic swim that it's been motivating me for several years. And you have to actually book the channel years in advance because it's so popular. I haven't signed up to do it because I want to be the first blind woman to do it. It's more for my own personal challenge. I want to have something this big to work towards. Hopefully, like my friend did all those years ago, motivate other people to try something new that they think is really scary and impossible, but actually, you know, little steps at a time and you can do it. I mean, hopefully I'll be able to do it, but it's going to be a bit of a journey, that's for sure.
Are there any specific things you're doing to prepare for the channel apart from sort of lots and lots of swimming, I imagine, and mapping out the route?
So you have to book the channel 2 to 3 years in advance. So there are only 6 or 7 boats that actually do the crossing every day. So they get very booked up. So I've booked my boat and you get a channel window, which is a tide. So I've got a neap tide, which basically the sea moves the least amount of currents in that tide. So it gives you the best chance of getting across to France. So the distance obviously is 21 miles, but nobody ever swims that because you just get taken sort of backwards and forwards with the tide. So it's probably going to be more than that. So my training at the moment is in the pool because it's just too cold to swim outside for any length of time at the moment. So I've been doing lots of pool sessions that are increasing in distance and also kind of still doing interval training, which is good for building up your strength. The other thing that I'm quite worried about is the cold. So I'm swimming the channel using channel rules, which basically means you can only wear one costume, a hat and goggles and earplugs, and that's it. So there's no wetsuit. So you basically have to just swim in your skin. So that's quite scary because being a pool swimmer and an athlete, I've not got particularly a lot of body fat. So I haven't got a lot of insulation. So that's one thing that I'm quite concerned about. Although my time that I'm swimming is going to be when it's hopefully the sea's going to be the warmest, because I'm going to be in it for about 14 hours. It's going to take quite a lot of warmth out of me, I think. So part of my training has been cold acclimatization. So over the last few winters, I've been going in open water. So that's like lakes and rivers, as much as I can, little and often, to try and get acclimatized to the cold. And you lay down brown fat, which is like fat that generates heat. So it's only a very small amount, probably about the size of a chocolate bar, that kind of tends to sit along your spine. And when you get cold, it generates the heat, try and keep your body warm. So you can develop that with cold exposure. So I've been doing that over the last couple of winters. This winter, it's been more difficult because the friends that I go with haven't been going very much. And that's the problem that, you know, visually impaired people come up against quite a lot. We can't get ourselves to places very easily. And the nearest open water swimming place for me is a good 45 minutes drive away. So it's just been, I just haven't been able to get to it very easily this year. But I've been lucky in that my husband's bought me an old whiskey barrel that's in the garden, and I go and sit in it. Try and aim for every day, every other day mostly, but that's quite cold water. And I go and sit in there for about, well, it varies between 10 minutes, 30 minutes. Well, the water temperature does vary a lot. So I have been in it when it was 0.5 degrees, and that was only for like 2 minutes. Last night it was about 10. I stayed in it for 20 minutes or so. And hopefully by doing that, I'm still getting the cold exposure. It's going to help my body get used to the cold. So those are the main things that I'm training at the moment. But also, probably the most challenging thing for me is going to be the qualification swim. So everybody has to do a 6-hour qualification swim, which is 6 hours in water that's less than 16 degrees, which is actually really quite cold. When I swim the channel, it's probably going to be about 18 or 19. So the biggest challenge for me, I think, is going to be doing that from a cold point of view. So I'm quite nervous about that. But you get several goes at it. It doesn't have to be a specific time or place. It's just you have to do it at some point up until about June, I think. So I'm hoping that I can pick a nice hot sunny day, if we ever get one, and then just try and stick it out for as long as I can. There's no distance that I have to do. I just have to stay in the water for 6 hours, which sounds horrendous.
Yeah, it's a long time. You're a big sort of champion of swimming, both in the water and outside, being a great thing for blind and partially sighted people to do. What advice would you give to people who are considering it? Why has it been such a great thing for you?
It's quite a personal thing, isn't it? Because some people would absolutely hate being in the water. But, you know, if you enjoy being in that environment and you want to learn to swim, then there are clubs that can help you. And there's British Blind Sports are definitely people to get in touch with to help, direct to the clubs that can help, or teachers that can help teach you to swim. If you can already swim and you fancy doing open water, it's really difficult for people who are visually impaired to get to open water. But it's getting more and more accessible. There are places all over the country now that are safe places to go. Lakes that have been set up that have lifeguards and people there to help you. So I've also set up a Facebook group called Blind Swim Buddies. I think there's about 700 members now, but the aim is to link up people who live in your area who would come along and help you get to an open water swim venue, whether it be a river or a lake or an official venue. And it doesn't have to be swimming. It could be just like when in the winter I don't really swim. I go in and what we call dip, which is where you just go in and bob around and have a chat. Very, very social. And then you get all the benefits of cold water swimming, which have been very widely documented. And it's a very, very, very social thing to do. It's where you meet lots of like-minded people, and it's a very supportive, inclusive community. So it's such a lovely thing to get involved in. Probably try and spread the word a little bit and encourage people to have a go at doing it, because it's hard to get into and hard to do, but the benefits are just huge.
And how can people stay updated with your channel swim preparation and the other things that you're doing?
My channel swim is going to be the 27th of August to the 1st of September. That's my channel window. And there'll be a tracker that follows me when I'm doing it. But if you want to follow my preparation and what I'm doing running up to it, then I do have a Facebook page called Against the Tide Blind Wild Swimming, which is where I document things that I'm doing and my training. And I'm on Instagram as Blind Girl Swims. So yeah, if you want to have a look and follow me, I know social media is just a bit rubbish for blind people, but I try to make it as accessible as possible.
Thank you so much, Melanie Barrett, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio, and we can't wait to hear how the Channel Swim goes.
Thanks for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.